I'd like to read just firstly in Psalm 50. Psalm 50, that's page 720. Psalm 50, verse 1. God, Jehovah Elohim, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. God hath shined forth. Our God will come and will not keep silence. Fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He will call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather unto me my godly ones, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God executeth judgment himself. Selah. And then verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowl of the mountains, and the roaming creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. I'll refer to some other scriptures later. But this psalm speaks to us, as many others do, of the fact that the Lord, God, is Lord over the whole earth. We sang it, read in our hymn, O Lord of Glory. The Lord shows a title, ownership. And the gospel is preached tonight so that we might accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Lord and Saviour, but Lord. What does it mean for God to be Lord, or to have to be Lord? That means he is the owner. He's the owner of this world. But it tells us in the first verse, God has spoken and called the earth. He speaks across the whole earth, from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. The sun rises in the east, as we know, and sets in the west. The whole of the earth is thought of here, is captured. Think of the majesty of God. He sends out the sun, he sends out the rain on the earth. He is the creator. He upholds everything by the word of his power. The majesty of God. There are many people today, false religions, that believe in all sorts of other gods. They're small gods, gods with a G, small G, false gods. Gods that can't speak, gods that can't hear. Gods that I haven't got power to heal. We saw in the passage this afternoon that there wasn't the power to heal the man who had the leprosy. There wasn't the power to heal the man who had a demon in him. In the Sunday school this afternoon, the children were listening to a story about the Lord Jesus walking on the water. This is the God who has power. He has power to carry out his purposes. Not a weak God who just demands people's obedience and gives them back nothing. How common that is in false religion around us. But our God, the true God, has power, and he is Lord over all the earth. The perfection of beauty. Our God will come and will not keep silence. That means that those that truly wait in God will be rewarded. He will come. He has come many times in the past for his people. He came in so many times through the Old Testament. God came in and delivered and saved the people of Israel, the children of Israel. They had the armies of Pharaoh stampeding up behind them, catching up with them quickly with horses and chariots. They had the Red Sea in front of them. Moses reached out his staff and spread it out over the sea, and the sea opened up and provided a way on dry land for them to walk through. This is the God who does come, the God who does answer his people. How many times throughout the Old Testament we see time after time after time that God answers his people. He is Lord over the earth. His majesty is evident in the creation. We look at the beauty of the creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth shows his handiwork. He is the rightful owner of this world. It tells us in verse 3 that of the majesty and power that he has. Fire shall devour before him. It shall be very tempestuous round about him. That would speak to us of the majesty and righteousness and power of God. He will call to the heavens and the earth that he may judge his people. That's a reminder that this holy God, who is the Lord of heaven and earth, will one day judge the people of the earth. He is the creator. He has the right to do that. Jesus proved that he was the creator when he walked on the water. The children were asking how he could do that. He can do that because he is the creator. He's the Lord of the elements. He's the Lord over all. What an experience it must have been for Peter to step out of the boat and walk on the water towards Jesus. That made a difference to the rest of Peter's life. He had seen the majesty of the Lord Jesus. He had seen the greatness of who he is. Peter said we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Eyewitnesses are people who have seen something. They've actually seen with their own eyes what has happened. That's what Peter saw. He saw the majesty of the Lord Jesus. But he will judge his people. God is a righteous and holy judge, and one day he will judge in righteousness. Not like corrupt judges that we have in the world today. Judges that don't bring about the right result. He is the righteous judge. He will righteously deal with every single sin. But also he says here, gather unto me my godly ones, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. I especially wanted to highlight this verse. Gather unto me my godly ones. So there are godly ones on the earth. There are God's people on the earth. And the gospel is preached tonight so that you might become one of those godly ones that will be gathered up out of the earth. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. A covenant is an agreement. And a sacrifice, this was written hundreds of years before Jesus came. And yet there was going to be a sacrifice. A sacrifice which would enable people to be saved. This was written by a psalm by Asaph hundreds of years before Jesus came. And yet it's hinting of a sacrifice that is going to come. But just before we speak later about that sacrifice, which is the centre of the gospel, I also just wanted to show how that God owns everything. Every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle upon 1,000 hills. Every single creature in the forest. How many creatures there must be in the forest. I know all the fowl of the mountains. That means all the birds that fly on the mountains. We have no idea how many there are, do we? We don't know how many birds fly up in the mountains and in the hills. God knows every one. God knows the birds of the air. He knows every single creature of the field. It has been said the other day by a preacher, I thought it was a very good illustration. He doesn't put his initials on the side of the mountain. He doesn't put his signature on the side of a beautiful sunset, because it's all his. Every beautiful sunset you see, every beautiful flower you see, is painted by the artist, by the creator God himself. He has all of this under his hands. The roaming creatures of the field are mine. How beautiful that is of the creator. But what does he want more than anything else? He wants to save his godly ones, those that have made a covenant with him by sacrifice. That sacrifice needed the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else could become a perfect holy sacrifice, dear friends. And the gospel is preached tonight so that through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, we might be brought into a relationship with God. Just before we go on to the sacrifice, I want to just read one other psalm from one other psalm that describes to us something of what it was for Jesus to become the sacrifice for us. And that's in Psalm 22, verse 6. Psalm 22, verse 6. He is the Lord of glory. He was the Lord of glory. He is the Lord of all creation, as we said, because he was able to walk on the water. to raise the dead, to heal the sick. And yet this psalm describes to us in a very touching and powerful way the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. The verse 1, Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Why are you far from my salvation, from the words of my groaning? And then further down, verse 6, Psalm 22, verse 6. I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and the despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, commit it to Jehovah, let him rescue him, let him deliver him, because he delighted in him. That was some of the feelings of the Lord Jesus in suffering on our behalf. That sacrifice that was mentioned in Psalm 50, a covenant made with God by sacrifice, needed the Lord Jesus Christ to go to the cross on our behalf. The cross is at the centre of the Christian message. Without the cross, there is no good news to preach to the world. How urgently the gospel is needed in this world. How urgent it is that we have this preaching of the gospel tonight, so that people may come in and hear the way to eternal life. The only way to get right with a God, with a holy and righteous God, is by a sacrifice. And that sacrifice had to be the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Lord of glory. He was nailed to a cross for you and for me, dear friends. He died the most awful death ever imaginable. He went that way out of love for you and me. What divine love it was that caused him to leave the height supreme, as we read in the hymn. He left the height supreme and he went down into the very depths of death. The Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That's the only way in which you and I could be saved, dear friends. People are afraid of the virus. People are afraid of many, many things today. In the Gospels, Jesus says, fear not those who kill the body, but fear him who has authority to cast body and soul into hell. That's true fear, dear friends. Real fear leads us to a fear of God. But a God who loves us. A God who has loved us so much that has given his only begotten Son. That is the fear that people should have today. That's true fear. A fear of God, a fear of judgment, a fear of the awfulness of judgment, of being separated from God forever in hell. Think of the awfulness of being separated from God forever in the lake of fire. The lake of fire is designed for the devil and his angels. But those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ, those that have sinned against God, will find themselves there. It warns us in the Bible. That's how urgent the gospel is, to save people from eternal judgment. That's why we preach the gospel. That sacrifice was made, dear friends, by the Lord of glory. He is the Lord of glory, but he was prepared to go to the cross for you and for me. What mighty divine love. He went to the cross. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. He was buried. He was buried in a rich man's tomb. He was with the rich in his death, as it says in Isaiah. Hundreds and hundreds of prophecies all get fulfilled, fall into place in the life of Jesus. It's a beautiful thing to see. We started Mark's Gospel this afternoon, and already we start seeing fulfilled prophecies, time after time after time. But he died and was buried, and 3 days rose again. 3 days later, rose again. The reason we can preach the gospel tonight in this hall is because the Lord Jesus Christ is no longer in the tomb. He's risen. And because he is risen, he has broken the power of death. He has fully finished that work which God gave him to do. And because of that, everyone who puts their faith and trust in him will be saved. repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The power is in him. So I wanted to just read in one final verse, one final passage, Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. The word is near thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart is believed to righteousness, and with the mouth confession made to salvation. For the scripture says, no one believing on him shall be ashamed. For there is no difference of Jew and Greek, for the same Lord of all is rich towards all that call upon him. For everyone, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without one who preaches? And how shall they preach unless they have been sent? According as it is written, how beautiful the feet of them that announce the glad tidings of peace, and of them that announce glad tidings of good things. The word is near you tonight, dear friends. That means that it's available to everyone. That means that it's not a far away. It's not something you have to strive to achieve, because we cannot. It's near. How wonderful that is. God has come near. God has come all of the distance to us, near, so that we simply have to follow God's words. Faith is believing and following God's words. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. We know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. We confess him as Lord, and we trust in him as our Saviour. That means that we trust and believe that he died on the cross for us, but that he is Lord. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. That means to confess him as Lord is to give him his rightful place. And thou shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from among the dead. The most magnificent display of power that there has ever been on the earth. The wonder and power of the resurrection makes Christianity different from everything else. It makes Jesus unique and different from everyone else. And every true believer has trusted in the power of that resurrection. Paul says elsewhere to know him and the power of his resurrection. With the heart is believed to righteousness, with the mouth confession made to salvation. No one believing on him shall be ashamed. There's a lot of shame in the world today. There's a lot of guilt in the world. People bear heavy burdens of guilt and shame. Some religions are built on guilt and shame. How sad that is. But how wonderful to be delivered from the power of guilt and shame, because he himself bore our guilt and our shame in his body on the tree. When we put our full of faith and trust in what he has done at Calvary's cross, we realise that he bore our shame in our place. Can you say that for yourself? Do you know that he bore your shame on Calvary's cross? Everyone who shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. No one is outside of that. The youngest child, one of the very young children, reminded us of the glory of the Lord Jesus in the Sunday school. With your 4 or 5 or your 94 or somewhere in between, you can understand the wonder of calling upon the Lord, name of the Lord. But how shall they hear unless one who preaches? The gospel goes out across the earth in order that you and many, many others might be saved, dear friends. We look for the Lord Jesus to come. and the beautiful and bright hope of the Christian. It's drawing closer and closer every day for the Lord Jesus to come and to call his own. And Psalm 50 and so many other scriptures will take place. Gather unto me my godly ones. God will gather in his godly ones and none will be lost. May we have a great assurance of that tonight. There will be one of those godly ones gathered up together for his name's sake.